Ladies and gentlemen, the Jay and Rob Toy Show, the Scarf Lords have returned, and we are ready for a whole new season of winter. But you don't just get this Scarf Lord. The Scarf Lords come in pairs. So allow me to bring my scarven brethren, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
I don't have a scarf. You're over scarfed. I'm under scarfed. Anybody who knows Canada knows that it's cold now, but it's not nearly cold enough. So when it gets a little bit colder, that's when I put on the scarves. But even more importantly, when it gets warmer, that's when I put on even more scarves. So I don't know what I'm saying. What am I saying?
I was going to say that is not your rule, because as it gets colder, the scarves seem to delineate and remove themselves from you. It's almost like as the heat increases, the scarves conversely increase with what you're doing.
What's up, dude? It's been way too long. How are you? How's it going?
It's been a minute. It's going well. I am on my fourth pot of coffee today officially. I apologize if I'm speaking a little fast. I just have a little bit of caffeine and go in a minute. Can't wait to talk toys. It's been a big day for us for a whole bunch of reasons. Firstly, happy anniversary, because it's 1 year since we launched the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy to the day. I wonder if that was on purpose or pretty nuts. And who would have thought, you know, this came from just you messaged me the one day, like you do, right? And you come up with these great ideas. You're like, hey, man, you want to do a podcast on toys? I'm like, yep. And that's pretty much how it started, right? Like, bam.
Yeah. It's like, hey, so, you know, we got this show coming out. Remember how we did GamerCast to get ready for the release of Nintendo Quest? And we knew we had about 6 months or 8 months or so leading up to that. And yeah. I thought, well, maybe we could recreate that magic, but obviously talk about toys this time and prep for Action Figure Adventure. So we did a pre-taped show. I think the first three or four were pre-taped before we tried to do a live stream.
I gotta take credit for that one, because I love talking to a live audience like our pal Michael Mercy in the chat right now. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Oh, there
he's,
you go.
He's offering me a scarf there. Thanks, dude. I appreciate it.
There you go.
No, I love doing the live stuff. And I remember you're like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, what if we're not interesting enough?
Yeah. I still don't know. No offense
I think we're fine.
We'll see. We'll see.
I think we'll be okay.
This is the challenge to make it worth. Everybody that's watching, interacting live, you make this worth it, and we'll keep doing it. Otherwise, we go back to the videotape. What do you think about that? You want to go back to the videotape?
Those early podcasts are so funny when I look back on them, because I was just doing my iPhone and I had it prepped up on this, I think, figure box. And remember, it was like, what's that called when you shoot up like this? You're never supposed to shoot up at your face.
Yeah, low angle. You see everything.
Never do a low angle. You're like, dude, that looks horrible. I'm like, oh, dude.
You're like, no, it doesn't. It looks great. It's my iPhone.
I'm balancing it on like boxes and stuff. And I remember halfway through the taping, it like slammed over and fell. And it was like, ugh.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, let's talk about a more professional Jay and Rob Toy Show, shall we?
Well, those early episodes remind me of those early episodes of Seinfeld. I'm like in the boiler room of my basement. Not even in the same place. Like, I have moved since then. That's like all unfinished walls. And over the first like 10 episodes, you can see the dollies getting stacked up in the background and like fixtures and shelves getting put in place.
And I was in the old toy room, which was my childhood bedroom, which was crazy. But after I acquired the flag there, forget it, because I had to have the flag in the toy room. So as soon as the flag went in there, I couldn't move. Remember? It was just like,
yeah.
You had to suck in and turn sideways and every angle you were walking. So
the best was when you had that in there and we tried to get our camera crew in there. Three cameras, three people, me getting snuck behind there. I think I kind of had to like do one of those sideways shimmy things like a cartoon character.
That's season one footage that I don't think ever surfaced. Did it? Did it ever show up on anything? Yeah.
Didn't show up.
It's in the vault.
The keeper knows. The keeper knows all.
Yeah. That we shot a scene in the old toy room here in my house. Just kind of showcasing, we had the flag pretty much as the table, and we were showcasing everything that we'd collected. It was okay. I mean, there's one point we started laughing, but I don't know. It felt really rehearsed to me, so I'm kind of glad it didn't make it in. Obviously, well, it didn't make it in for a reason.
Well, we ran out of time at the end of the series, which is also why Action Figure Adventures, like the auction's over, you're like, well, we'll see if we can get them next time. It is what it is. Like, there's only 26 minutes I can put in every episode. But that scene was designed to be like a big recap and kind of go through, you know, where did you get this? And are you on the fence? Are you trading it in? And we basically just cover that in 10 seconds of voiceover instead of 5 minutes of footage. So the power of a narrator, ladies and gentlemen, he can recap everything. So, but you mentioned today a higher deluxe version, a higher, better version of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Today was the world premiere of not season one, but season two of the Jay and Rob Toy Show TV edition. This, of course, is our live stream podcast version. The TV edition is now on its second season, ladies and gentlemen. Number two.
Yeah, man. I remember you're like, hey, I think they like us enough to want a season two. I was like, yeah, okay. And you're like, do you want to start shooting next week or whatever? I'm like, yep. And honestly, the camera crew came here. You stayed in your studio. I was here in mine. And with a blink of an eye, it was over. And you're like, all right, man, there's two more. It's like, we only got one more day of shooting left. I was like, seriously, it's over? It's so fun. And it goes by so quickly.
Well, your part does.
My part does, yeah. Well, you wear all the hats. I'm just the guy, but you're wear just all the hats. Hey, you know what? I did some shooting this time. I shot some stuff.
Yeah, you got the call at the 11th hour. Jay, I need some dolly pictures. Can you please take some pictures for me?
Yeah. So that was fun to put on a different hat for once as well. I really enjoyed that. But I think, you know, I can't give anything away. I forget already what episode one is. It's the superhero one. But I think everyone who's watching right now, I think you're really going to enjoy season two. I think we come into our own a bit more, and we interact with the community a bit more. And I think we try to bring everyone together like we usually do. So I think you guys are going to like it. Yeah.
What do you think the key difference was between season one and season two? I mean, and I should preface this, we shot season one over the course of 4 weeks, a couple episodes a week throughout March this year, and season one premiered in June and played for 10 weeks. And then we shot season two over the course of 4 days at the end of July and the first part of August. What do you remember being the key differences, or was there any key difference for you?
I was definitely more relaxed, understanding more, having seen the final product, knowing what it was going to look like. It's a really strange dynamic because of COVID and everything that's going on. So Rob's at his place, I'm at mine, and I can't see him. I can only hear him. So the first season was a little strange, but once I got used to that, season two is a breeze. And it was just like really talking on the phone, like old school dudes do, like us. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the coolest difference from our part was picking subjects that were a little bit more curveball-y, less straightforward. Season one, we talk about playsets and vehicles and stuff like that, and it's, you know, really straightforward. Or season two, we talk about playsets, but we take it down a different route. Season one, it's more like, here's the vehicle, and then we talk about it like in the broad strokes, and we debate back within that. Whereas season two, you're coming at it from one way, I'm coming at it from another, and I think we're having a little bit more fun with it. Sometimes at each other's expense. I think it's episode five. You really get me when we talk about.
I doubt that very much. I don't remember this.
What does that mean? Of course you get me. You get a few good. Ladies
and gentlemen, we did a tour for Nintendo Quest in 2015, and every hotel we were in, we shot a little bit of stuff that got used, some didn't. But Rob would always throw questions at me that I couldn't possibly have the right answer to. Or if I did, he would make it wrong. And he kind of adds that little bit of comedy in this season. I think it works well at my expense, but hey.
No. The Power Tour, the Nintendo Quest Power Tour stuff, the Kobayashi Maru by design is an either or that you can't win. That was that. The questions and the lightning round, which we've called it this time, which ends, I think, 4 or 5 different episodes, has you pick between an either or situation. There's no wrong answer, Jay.
Except everyone I got wrong.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that because that's not true either. That's not true either. You don't remember what happened in those whirlwind days, my friend. There was some interesting revelations with some of your choices. I know that. The answer is always Batman.
Yeah, I remember the one day was after my second shot. And I was like, I was on the fence about canceling, but I didn't. I toughed it out, and I knew that we were almost done. But I just remember that day. Remember, you're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, not good. And when you sent me the episodes to watch, just to kind of double check everything, I couldn't figure out which episodes they were. So that's good. I guess I pulled it off, or your editing pulled it off, or whatever it was.
It'll be the episode where I've cut out your head from one of the other episodes and just pasted it on. And it's just like
season one head is just like South Park, Canadian South Park guy.
Exactly. We should talk about Action Figure Adventure, because of course that's the next series that's going to release probably about a year from now, given the timeline of everything that we're working with. But we should talk about it because we shot that, Jay, if you can believe this, over 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, we shot season two of Action Figure Adventure. How have more than two months passed?
I don't know what I can and can't say. I know that we're not completely done shooting by a long shot, but it's different because this time it was more concentrated to shoot, where season one was done over a bunch of different months. I really liked the contrast of that. You could see the seasons change and stuff like that. This one was shot in like 7 days or whatnot for the most part. And that was a blur, man, but I had such a blast. That reminded me of being on tour again. And I love that feeling as much as, you know, it was really scary going out east in the middle of COVID and not knowing what was going to happen and the challenges. It was still a blast with the four of us in the production van, just laughing our asses off at stupid things.
Yeah, so to peel the curtain back a bit, season one has Jay basically take, I think it's 8 months, and we sporadically went out more or less once or a month here and there. And season two, because of COVID restrictions, and we dealt with a lot of interesting loopholes as a result of COVID and the production protocols that accompany that, we basically took 6 days and drove from London, Ontario, and drove all the way to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and back, which is a pretty big hike. And I would say that represents probably 70% of the shooting that we're doing for the journey. There's going to be another Ontario regional loop, probably. And then, of course, the auction. And we're doing a bunch of interviews kind of ongoing all the time with remote crews that are out there kind of grabbing that. And I zoom in like this to grab it. So 70% in the can, and I've just started going through it. And it's interesting to see the difference in footage from stuff where you're coming in completely fresh, having like 3 weeks off in season one between toy hunting to... we've just driven for 3 hours, or we were on the road for 15 hours and we're burnt out and tired, and we're going into a store and got to make a decision because we've got to get to the next store so we can get to the hotel so we can get up at 8 a.m. It is a huge contrast. While we don't have the seasonal change, we have a lot of different things.
Am I allowed to talk about the thing that flew into my head? That story is pretty funny. Am I allowed to talk about that?
Only if I'm allowed to put it in the trailer.
If you think that's good, go ahead, man.
I think it's hilarious.
So nothing that we shoot is scripted. Nothing is rehearsed. And we got a little tip on something. So we kind of go to this area, and that's all I can say at the present time. So we're in this area. We're exhausted. We drove like hell to get there in time. And we're all pretty cranky. I know I was really cranky. And I was standing there, and all the crew has face shields on, right? The only time I really don't have a mask is when I'm being interviewed outside. So I'm standing there. I'm like, okay, let's go. We got to do the intro before I go into the place. And I don't know what I said, but one of the crew guys put the face shield on top of the van, and the gust of wind blows and the face shield smacks me right in the eyes, like this, like bam. Oh, I was so pissed. And then these guys laugh, which makes me even angrier.
I laugh.
You,
like,
you, You went like this. You're like, ooh. And then you turned around and started laughing.
Dave was like, oh my God. Yeah, Dave was pretty, he didn't know what to do because you were so pissed. You turn around ready to hit the fence. So yeah, to piggyback off of what you said, we rerouted our schedule to go to a store because they had something that, you know, would, you know, potentially change everything if we could make the kind of travel stuff work. So we reorganize our times of where we're going to be, and we drive 2 hours through traffic and yada, yada, yada. And we get there. And Jay says, if we can get this, it would be the perfect icing on the cake. And wham, he gets hit right between the eyes. And I've got it from a wide shot, from a close up, and from a profile. And so you can just imagine. And Jay is so pissed. But the best part is, after you kind of shake it off, you're like, that was pretty funny. And you go, why do I have a feeling in 2.5 days I'm going to get a clip from you that shows me this?
And so I'm always love to see the footage, right? I always love to see what we shot. I like to see the early stuff. Oh, and so sure enough, the first thing that he sends me via text is like a nicely cut out piece of the shield hitting me in the face. I was like, of course.
That's so good. That was fun. JLS is chiming in. Action Figure Adventure Season 1 was great. I watched it recently on Amazon Prime. Thanks for checking that out. You must be in America or you're checking it out through Jinx Esports TV here in Canada. Thank you so much for the support on that. And please share the word. It is cool to say that Action Figure Adventure DVDs and Blu-rays are now up for pre-order once again on Big Bad Toy Store. But if you are in the London area, you can pick up a disc at Heroes. If you're in St. Thomas, you can grab a disc from Dark Matter. You can grab discs from Retro Rewind as well, and from Giant Robot Comics and Collectibles in Halifax. You can grab copies of that as well. So that's a pretty cool way to check out the show as well. Yeah, nothing is scripted for Action Figure Adventure. It's all toy hunting goodness. We just know that we go to a store, no idea what's going to be in there, never call ahead to find out. And it's just how everything unfolds. So it's fun right now going through that footage. It kills me that it's going to be a year before we get to share this stuff with everybody. But it's like you said, going back and forth when I showed you some other clips, it's cool to relive some of that and experience the tour once more.
Yeah, I mean, you really get to know somebody when you're like in a car. Sorry, when you're in like a van with them. No, it was a car. Was it a car? Oh, it's kind of like an
SUV.
SUV, yeah. When you're in one of those, like we did, like the one day was 14 hours. And then, of course, on the way back, we had to do the same 14-hour trek. So, yeah, you really get to know a lot about a person. It was really cool, though, man. We played lots of trivia and just start going loony. Remember the lunch I made out of, like, potato chips and hamburger buns because I didn't want to touch anything at the stores, and I wouldn't eat out it anywhere, and it's fun. Well, man.
It is what it is. So that is coming down the pipe, and you'll hear about that as we continue to do this. So this is kind of like season two of our live streaming podcast finally coming back. We're going to try to pair these every Wednesday with a new episode of the Jane Rob Toy Show, which is premiering exclusively on Jinx Esports TV in Canada. Like we've talked about, episode one, Marvel versus DC action figures came out. It's impossible to cover every possible line that has been released, every iteration, every minor detail. But we covered a fair chunk of mileage in episode one. And episode two, I think, should we tell people what to expect next week on the show?
Of course. I think we should talk a bit about tonight's episode. I'll let you guide that so I know what to say and what not to say. And I absolutely have no idea what the next episode is, so you tell me.
Well, we can just say that next week's episode is all about spotlights. So one of the favorite segments from season one that everybody messaged us seemingly was, we love at the end of all your episodes that you do, both on the live stream and the TV show, that you do an action figure spotlight. Do more spotlights. So I thought, well, why don't we do a whole episode that's nothing but spotlights? But we can't just show our dollies and show some shelfies and look at this dolly. So I turned it into a game where Jay picks, I think, three or four figures, and I pick three or four figures, but they're all tied together with a theme, and we have to guess what the other person's theme is as the Dolly reveals go on. So you have that to look forward to next week on Jinx Esports TV. We're also hosting the Jay and Rob Toy Show seasons 1 and 2 on Vimeo right now. So all the season 2 episodes will get released on the Fridays. So episode 1 will be released in 2 days from now. But you can go back and check season 1, which hasn't been available anywhere except for in Canada. So everybody that's watching in the U.S., go to Vimeo, search the Jay and Rob Toy Show. You'll see it's up for pre-order. I think it's something like $14.99 U.S., and that price is going to stay locked in. So you'll get 20 episodes for $14.99. Good deal. Season 2 episodes released weekly, like I said. What did you want to talk about for the Marvel vs. DC thing? I almost don't want to say too much and give too much away.
No, I mean, I'm looking at the chat there and kind of want to know what everyone thinks. I mean, everyone out there who's watching in TV land, were you more a Marvel toy collector or more of a DC toy collector? I know we got Scott in the chat and him and I were talking about Image stuff. We were talking about Spawn because Spawn has kind of come back in a big way over the last month or so.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious. Is everyone in the chat chime in there if you were more into Secret Wars? It was really Secret Wars versus Superpowers in the 80s, right? So yeah, I'm just kind of curious as to what everyone liked. And you know what? We're not gonna say anything about you have to watch the episode to find out what ours are.
I should say that we don't really get into what we collected. We obviously talk about our preference and why we preferred it. But I think I had a pretty healthy split between both Marvel and DC throughout the ages. Even when I wasn't collecting a lot in the early to mid 2000s, I had probably as many DC figures as I did Marvel figures that I was buying on the shelves. But through the 80s and 90s, equal amounts of both, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be more DC for me in the 90s, although the Toy Biz stuff was on the tail end of me collecting, when I was a kid. I think DC in the 90s, and I think it was a split in the 80s. I loved Secret Wars, the characters more, but the superpowers were the better toys. Of course, Batman and Superman, Robin, I love that stuff. But some of the DC guys I'm not a huge fan of, so... I was more of a Marvel dude.
Sure, I can understand that. What's always fun is making these episodes, and instead of relying on the internet for imagery to serve as our cutaway to illustrate what we're talking about, is buying the thing. It's our excuse to buy stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes it's expensive, but that episode in particular was a great excuse for me to. By that fella back there, finally, the Hall of Justice that's just over my shoulder. And yeah. Have I wanted to see that thing for such a long time. I don't have a recollection of what happened to mine as a kid. I'm guessing it went with everything else that went when my family kind of imploded and it was just left behind. But that was strange, holding that in my hands for the first time. And just to get it to shoot for the cutaways in the episode. And just like, wow, there's that weird sensory thing that you get when you touch something like that, and it instantly transports you back in time to like all your play times all in one. You just have that sense of texture, you know?
Yeah, and it brings you back to a certain, just for me, I think in terms of like years. So like if I hear a certain song, it brings me to a certain year. Same with the play sets. I'm not going to give anything away, but there's a couple pieces that I acquired for our shoot that I'd wanted for a long time that were in my collection. And once I got them again, you know, to shoot for the show, it was just like, oh my God, like I instantly
Which pieces are we talking about? Cause we can talk about the piece without talking about the episode, and people can maybe wait for that to come out. It's a little teaser.
Oh, okay. I've showed off the one on my own personal page, but I haven't showed off the second one. So I showed off Tiamat, who's the female Queen of the Dragons from the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons line by LJN. Definitely a holy grail. Anyone who's a pretty serious collector knows that the Tiamat piece is ridiculously, I think it's a little overpriced, but it's super rare and super fragile. So getting that, and then the second one was one that you brought up that I hadn't thought about in a while. That was the Kenner Indiana Jones stuff. And made a call to a close buddy and a close buddy of ours. And he sold it to me for a really great price. So I got the Will of the Souls again. Not an insane playset. There's not a lot to it, but again, you hold it and you touch it, and it's like, oh my god, like you're instantly transported back to, you know, I think about my mom and I think about how rare that Indiana Jones stuff was. Even as a kid, I knew it was really rare. You could only get it in the States. Just the little snakes, the mummy, of course, the Ark is the vac metalized plastic. It's just a gorgeous playset. It's so gorgeous that I went to Michael's, which is a craft store in town here, and I got one of those football display cases and I put it in that. So yeah.
It's funny because it's like the Ark is like now in a like a museum like display, which is only
if you I didn't want to take any photos of it. I didn't know if you were supposed to do that, so I haven't yet. But if you look at it in the case, it looks like it's in the tomb and you're looking down. Like it's really cool. Huh? Yeah, it's really cool looking. And that's Tiamat awesome. Also has a football display helmet too. Case.
Football display helmet. I'd love case. To see you just smash a football helmet on Tiamat.
Whack.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, in addition to the Hall of Justice, I bought lots of odds and ends here and there. Like stuff that I didn't want to buy, but stuff that we needed. And not stuff that I regret, but it's like, oh, I wouldn't have bought this unless I needed to. So I got a really cool display piece. That we showcase in episode one of the Marvel Toy Biz figures, a store display of the X-Men figures.
Oh, yeah.
The villains on top and the villains on the bottom and the heroes on top. And I never had a lot of those characters. I had most of the first and second wave of the Toy Biz X-Men stuff, but there's some variations of figures in there I didn't have. And those molds and sculpts are different. And it's the first store display that I've ever had. I've had gaming store display stuff before, but never toy stuff. Yeah. So I got it for like $30, man. Like $30. I mean, that's figures crazy. Loose alone, the retail versions are, you know, they go for $30 each. So that was a cool piece to get. I think one thing we should talk about is the HasLab stuff, because we haven't talked about the current HasLab offerings on any forum in any which way in a while. Have you weighed in on the current HasLab options anywhere, Jay?
The Sky Striker and the Rancor.
And the Proton Pack.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all.
Clearly.
Yeah, that's the kind of like role play stuff. Like, I don't...
It's a cool prop, right?
It's a cool prop.
It doesn't come with a neutrino wand. Did you know that?
No,
it's just the pack. It doesn't come with the you're gonna love this, especially since you don't want it. It doesn't come with the neutrino wand. It even says at the bottom, Venkman suggests you get the neutrino wand to complete it. And like tier one is the hose that like the unlock for tier one is the hose that connects the neutrino wand from the pack.
Okay, see, that's just stupid. Well, like you can't that's like having Luke's lightsaber hilt and you have to piece it together. And imagine you didn't make the goal. You didn't make the goal, and they just ship it to you, and you just have the cylinder. You're missing like the other parts of the lightsaber. You'd be like, okay, go ahead.
It gets better. It gets better. If you're a Pulse member, you know, you pay the $50 a year to be a Pulse member, and you back Proton Pack, you get these like green jelly slime things that you hang over the back of it so that it looks like your pack has been slimed. And I thought that was so cheesy.
I thought it was painted that way when I saw the picture.
No, it looks like
I'm glad you could take them off.
It looks like plastic fruit roll-ups that have been cut out, and I don't know. I think it looks pretty dumb. I don't think that's
so. JLS and Cactus Jamie seems to be really excited about the Sky Striker. This is one I want to kind of talk about a little bit here.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts, because I threw it right at you the second I saw it announced. I'm like, Jay, what do you think about this, buddy?
Well, we were talking about that. I can't remember where, but I thought it was for the Classified series. So I was crapping. I'm like, oh my god, they did it. They made a Sky Striker for 6-inch Joes. They didn't. It's pretty much looks like a remake of just the original. And I have an original. Actually, original Sky Striker is not too difficult to acquire. So I was kind of underwhelmed. Don't let that take away, you know, anything from you guys. I mean, it's definitely cool. But when you have a vintage one that's literally the same, I was just kind of a little bit underwhelmed, considering the Classified figures that they showed off for that Pulse Con were so, like, Triple A out of the park, amazing.
Now, I'm not a huge G.I. Joe collector, so you'll forgive my novice question when I ask this. Does the Sky Striker, the OG, the vintage one, have room for two pilots? Because I don't remember that part of it.
Yep, it's the same thing. And I can't remember.
Because it looks retooled to me. It looks a little bit.
Any Joe fans better out there want to chime in on the soldier that comes with Ace? I can't remember, but I know like the hardcore Joe guys were like really excited about this new character. There's another new figure that comes with
Ace there as there's well. A Scarlet that comes with it as an unlock. There's Ripcord, I think, in there too for Night Force, and then there's one more. So, and they're all O-ring figures too, which is the other big reveal that they showcased. Here we go. O-ring needs original better, right?
I don't think so. I think the design of the O-ring figure is it's not meant to last. That is just a fact. The rubber ring rots, like the rubber rots on the He-Man figures. They weren't meant to last. They're disposable toys, right? You play with them, then you toss them away or hand them down or whatever. So to go back to that, I understand they want to capture 100% of the market. They want the 6-inch and the 3-inch. The 3-inch weren't doing anything because they were repackaged 25th anniversary figures. So now they're like, okay, you guys wanted O-rings. Here you go. You know, I might get Storm Shadow just because it's Storm Shadow. Other than that, like our good buddy G.I. Joe John says, you know, I got the vintage and I think that's good enough for me. Besides, one more little quick thing. The sporadicness of the releases of the 3.75, they don't make any sense. It's like two figures and then three figures and then one figure. It's like the waves aren't consistent. So,
right.
What do you think? What do you think, since you're not a big vintage Joe collector?
I think that, you know, the Sky Striker in particular is appealing. One, it's a HasLab. So there's the monetary side and the cool, this is your only chance to get it. Otherwise, you're going to be paying at least double down the road. So it's always fun to get in and be part of that club. You are looking at potentially getting up to four figures, including that Scarlet, in that way that we haven't seen her before, which is really cool, I think.
That is cool, yeah.
Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes are a separate set as a two-pack. I mean, obviously, they know there's a lot of Storm Shadow Snake Eyes fans. They just released a whole film based on it. So if you just want to get that, then you can get that. It's the $229 price tag for something like that that I'm not sure that I want. You know, if you're going to get a HasLab, you kind of want to open it because it's such a prominent piece. Like, I have a Sentinel just over here sort of on the side that you could sort of see. And this thing is massive. Now, I'm not going to keep this. This is going to be traded for something at some point. But if I did buy it, I would be opening it. You know, same would go for the Sail Barge. I have the Razor Crest on the way. I have Galactus whenever that comes. And those are all getting opened, I believe. So I'd want to have the Sky Striker, but... You know, I just don't really see the $229 price tag for me as a collector. If it was $199, yeah, $30 difference does make a lot of.
I'm not understanding Hasbro's logic with the 3.75-inch releases. I don't understand. Like, the Awe Striker was the first Jeep. Why the Awe Striker? It was like a third gen with crankcase. Like, whoever said their favorite Joe was crankcase? It makes no sense. You know, they released the Hiss. I get it. Then they released the Fang, and the Fang is for the 3.75s, and the 25th anniversary are 4-inch, so they don't really fit in it. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's like these sporadic releases, and there's no consistency with them. So for me, I was turned off right away from not really understanding why the rhyme or reason to anything. The classifieds at least kind of make sense.
Yeah,
but I'm skipping on the Joes. I'm going to stick to vintage. I think, you know, if you want a really nice vintage Sky Striker, you can get one for $200.
What's I would do really, that. Like you said, confusing is the word that I think suits everything with G.I. Joe right now, because it's all being held by Hasbro, and I'm going to offer a comparison later. It's all being held by Hasbro. So you've got classified, you've got the retro 3 3/4, and now you've got this stuff as well. And it doesn't quite align. There's like, what are we doing? Where are we prioritizing what's going on? Whereas you look at something like what's going on with TMNT, you've got the cartoon stuff from NECA and the movie line, and they're both going full steam ahead on those. And then you've got Super 7 doing the Playmates-inspired stuff. And they're all very consistent with what's going on with that. There's no guessing game. It's always like every month, here's a new pack, or every 3 weeks, here it is. And you can see where the line is going and what they're choosing. The movie line for TMNT is has rounded all the core characters, and now we're getting alternate versions of them. Like they just announced in April and Casey on the farm version of them, where they're kind of dressed down, which I thought was a really cool kind of deep hit. The cartoon stuff, we're getting Wingnut and Screwloose at this point, which is in the outlier of my connection to the cartoon stuff. And they just announced the Undercover Raph for Big Bad Toy Store for the TMNT Ultimate line. So for me as a TMNT fan, they're getting to the end, but you can see where they're going with all of them, and it all makes sense and it's logical. For Joe and what Hasbro's doing with it, it's like, okay, here's something for the O-ring fans. Here's something for the people that love Classified, or to rope them back in where we haven't got them before. And then there's this other 3¾ retro thing that we don't know really what's going on yet.
I'm not, and to be clear, let me clarify. I'm not a Hasbro hater. I'm not one of these guys that I don't hate any toy companies. It's a toy company.
You hate them all. I hate them all for giving me toys and forcing me to buy the dollies for my shelf. Don't tell me what dollies to buy for my shelfie.
I will say that Hasbro does listen, or appears to be listening, because the Joe fans wanted O-rings, they got O-rings. The Joe fans, including myself, wanted less Cobra Island exclusives. We only got 2 out of 4 or 5 figures, 6 figures, which is great. So they are listening. But I just think if you're going to replicate something to the T, like the O-ring, I would just go vintage at that point, unless you're looking for the card art. But then again, as we know, collecting Joe stuff on the card is difficult because of the O-rings. So,
yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, packaging is a huge draw these days for any adult collector. Look at the Marvel Legends retro line, which is the 3¾ kind of throwback, almost Secret War superpowers ish figures, which is again one line we didn't talk about in the episode that came on our series tonight, because you know they keep making lines after we are able to record these, and there's a great example of that in episode 5. I won't give that away, but that's a whole line that I think is much more about the packaging, like the reaction style of figures, than it is the actual figure for playtime. You were pretty hot on that, and even when we first started doing our show in this format, the live stream, I opened an Electro and Spider-Man on camera. And you're like, why would you open that on the packaging? The packaging is so great. And you got into the line, and now?
I got 3. I got Spider-Man, and I got Daredevil and Elektra. And then I bought Daredevil and Elektra together, and they're $18 Canadian each. And that came to like $40. And that's when I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I can't. I looked at, you know, there's Hulk, Magneto, Captain America, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I can't do it. You and I had a nice discussion the other day about, you know, running out of space with this carded and boxed stuff. I just don't have room for that stuff anymore. And I'm not going to buy those figures, honestly, for the figure. If I'm going to buy them, it's for the artwork. And I just don't really have a lot of space for that. So I quit.
Yeah. We lost a real good friend in the toy community. Darren from Toy Power Podcast passed away, sadly, September 11th. And the Toy Power guys took a bit of a hiatus in the wake of his passing. And one of the things that Trent in particular came to the realization of, you know, like, and you and I have talked about this because you and I have been hit, unfortunately, with people passing seemingly every 60 days between us, if not sooner, in the last year. And Trent came to the realization that, you know, life is too short. Life is too short to have so many packaged dollies and figures and to not have that experience of holding some of the stuff, especially the new stuff that is still seemingly around a little bit. It's different if you're buying like a carded Masters figure or, you know, Kenner Star Wars from back in the day because you want it that way. But so much of this stuff isn't that precious that we're getting right now. And so he has started to open up a lot of stuff. And I remember my New Year's resolution when we did that show a year ago was to have less packaged stuff. And now everybody can see everything that's surrounding me is just nothing but like packaged plastic and dollies. And I'm much more of a fan of opening stuff. So in the wake of that, it's almost my mission now every week to open at least 2 or 3 figures, because I've got tons. What you don't see is bins of packaged stuff that I've got either to shoot for the show or whatever. But it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with him up to a certain point. Life is definitely precious. And for me, my motto more now than ever is just like, you know, if there's something in this world that's going to bring you joy, you know, go for it. Like, as long as you, like our good buddy Brom says, you know, as long as you can pay the bills and feed yourself and your family. But if there's something that you really want, it's going to make you happy, just do it. Don't worry about what anyone says. Just go for it. But yeah, with the package stuff as well, that's toys and that's everything in life. But with the package stuff, I have a, which you can't see here on the table, is a pile of stuff that I have that I'm going to open. It's just like, what do I need? These Transformers, War for Cybertron, empty boxes, like Ultra Magnus empty box. I'm never going to get rid of them, right? And if I do, he's probably not going to go back in the box the way he came anyway. So
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny though, because one of the things, one of the infamous reversals I've had on a stance for a line is Origins, Masters of the Universe Origins. I'm good. It's not as good as Classics. It's derivative of the original. I'm getting a lesser figure. I don't need it, not even for the price point of $15.99 Canadian. And then what happens? I open it, I play with it. This is a pretty cool figure. And now I've got, it's still a pick and choose line for me, but opening it and holding that figure, or a figure from that line, Scareglow in particular, and then Prince Adam, was the gateway to like, yeah, this is a cooler experience that would have been completely denied had I just left it in the package on the wall. Some things you need to experience to appreciate.
Agreed. Do you want to highlight Daniel's comment at the bottom there?
Sure.
That's a really good comment. This is, Daniel, something we talk about a lot, which we call the rule of two. And I've kind of, for the most part, abandoned it. And I'll tell you what the breaking point was. The new Origins Castle Grayskull, which I still haven't opened, right? I bought, finally found one in Canada. It was really hard to get for a while. Found one. Then I found another one. I'm like, oh, man, great. Now I can have that beautiful box on display sealed, and then I can open the other one because it's going to shoot a bunch of figures with it and stuff. And then I was just like, this is $90. And it was literally just sitting in the hallway of my house for weeks, just where I brought it in from the car. It just sat there. And I brought it back the other day because I'm like, I don't need two of these. You know, I just don't. And you really start to look at the money that's going out. So with the rule of two, Daniel, I'm actually, funny enough, really picky now on what I buy two of.
Really, yeah, and it's funny because Amazon in Canada did a price slash. Usually they're $84.95 Canadian, and they slashed it to $59. And that's free shipping and everything. Be at your house the next morning. And I thought, well, $60, the figure that's in it, that's 15 right there. You could, you know, the box art alone is cool to have a second one and set one up. Couldn't do it either. Like I got one on display too, as you guys can see there. And you know, that's enough for me. I'm not even gonna open that one because I've got the Classics Grayskull, which, you know, is the best version in my opinion. I also have a 2002 and a vintage one if I really want to compare.
Hands but down.
It's not gonna get better than the Classics in my opinion because of the 6-inch scale. And even if I wanted to play with it with the Origins, it scales really well with it. So I don't need to spend another, even at $60, to get another one. Now, Black Friday when they're $40, you bet there's going to be two more back here sitting on the floor until I regret that 6 months later. But
well, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm cutting back the rule of two myself. I was doing it for these TMNT Ultimates from Super 7. I was going to do it all. I was finally going to have one line where I go all in and get one so I can display and one so I can package. And then I said, no, I can't afford that. So I'm just only going to get two of one figure from each wave so I can open one extra one. And now it's just, nope, I'm just going to open them all. And if
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at your, that's it. I'm looking at your ultimates behind you there, and that package is nothing special. It's all bubble, right?
Yeah, it's all bubble, so just, and everything's displayed, but there's a lot of space within that bubble.
So. Yeah, and that's like a bunch of the new McFarlane stuff that came out, you know, the Violator and the Clown. They look fantastic, but it's all just window. So yeah. It's like just take it out, man. And if you got some great card art, like. I got to say, I think G.I. Joe is probably still the best card art. I mean, if you have something like that, that's hard to open. That's difficult to destroy that piece of art. But when you have, you know, something like that, and a lot of the 6-inch Hasbro stuff, it's got some great art on the side. But for the most part, it's just that bubble. You know, that's not so hard to open up. Open it up. Yeah. This is the year of the open. Actually, 2022 will be the year of the open. Days today.
There you go. Did you want to chime in on the Rancor for Black Series, Haslab?
Yeah, I really want to see it.
I can tell where you're going on that one already.
I've actually, it's funny, Michael and I were talking today about Star Wars, and I've really slammed the brakes. You know this too, Rob. I've really slammed the brakes on most Star Wars because I've collected it all my life. So it's like I'm really tired of buying these figures, the same figures over and over again. And even if you look behind me at the vintage collection, which I just adore, they're even starting to repeat that stuff. And that line's only 10, 11 years old. So I've just stopped. I like Mayfield, who's Bill Burr's character. I'm going to get that one because that's a nice new original character they've never had before. There's a lot of Mandalorian characters that came out that are going to be great. But besides the Luke Skywalker stuff, I'm pretty much frozen with that. That being said, what's the price on the Rancor? I have to admit, I don't even know.
I think it's $3.99. I can look it up real quick here. What about Trapper Wolf? Yeah. What about Trapper Wolf? The Dave Filoni homage X-Wing pilot.
Yeah, I don't know.
$3.49.
Yes. So the Dave Filoni character is kind of like the George Lucas. It's okay.
It's collectible. But, I think it's cool. I mean, it's what other like filmmaker, would deserve a character in Star Wars right at this point? That's a behind the scenes person.
Favreau already had his, right? He was the bigger, the heavy set Mandalorian from the first season. So they already made a figure of him. But I would buy a Favreau one. I just think, I don't know. I just like him more. Dave Filoni's just kind of, I don't know. He's okay.
Oh, Filoni's awesome. I mean, for all the Clone Wars stuff and Rebels and now Mandalorian, he's the heart and soul of what's going on at Lucasfilm, if you ask me. Favreau's just helping to bring it to life with what he's done and his knowledge and expertise. So it's a great team. I wanted to go all in on the Rancor. Remember it kind of leaked in like April or so. And we're like, when's it coming?
Yeah,
when's
I was...
it coming? Someone said something out of turn. And there's like all the Rancors coming to HasLab, 6-inch Black Series.
And then the first images we saw were like a gray pre-rendering. And I was like, why would you show that as the first?
And that's still what's there.
But it's almost just like, it's Star Wars. You can show anything and they'll buy it. And that kind of annoyed me. It's like, you could have shown a nice, really nice display. And you're telling me that this thing isn't done yet. I don't believe that for a second. This HasLab stuff, I don't believe any of that stuff. It takes a long time to make these molds. They don't just, we hit the stretch goal. Now let's make the Rancor Keeper. It doesn't work that way. Don't let them fool you.
I wanted to get it because, I mean, again, big piece. I love the HasLab excitement. I got the Razor Crest, and I'm excited for whenever that arrives. But I'll be honest, awesome. I've got some Mythic Legion trolls that look much cooler to me than the Rancor does. And they are... $79 compared to $349.
Yeah, that's extremely overpriced. And I don't care if they put Ola the Dancer, if they unlock her and all that stuff. I don't care, man. That's $349.
I just hope
it's crazy.
I just hope they add a Jedi Knight Luke because we need another Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker for Black Series.
Well, we always do. Yeah. But I mean, you know what? Like, I love Silver Surfer and I didn't buy the Galactus, so
I was going to ask you about that. I forgot to chime in on that. Well, you can maybe take a swing at my price. That's 3x on the price tag.
Well, I found the original.
The universe.
No. Not the one with Howard the Duck. The actual Marvel Legends, the first Silver Surfer that was like 2017. I found that at Heroes, the Walgreens. So I got that. And then I got the one from the Thanos timeline story I haven't read yet, where is Thor's hammer. I got that.
Yeah, Mjolnir. That's also a Walgreens exclusive too, for whatever reason. Do you want to do action figure spotlight?
I do. Yeah, I got a couple that I'll quickly showcase. Yeah,
You're gonna showcase two, okay? Because I only brought one, but now that's forcing me. Mine are mail fresh today, my friend. So
that's fine.
Mail stuff here.
Mine's not mail fresh, but they're from the pile of things that I haven't got to yet. So since our first episode of season two is debuted today in Canada. And it's focused on Marvel and DC. I thought I would showcase a new Marvel and DC character. Which do you want first, Marvel or DC?
DC, that's way better picks than I did, although, shit. Okay, you're going to win the spotlight today. I don't know why I didn't think to do that.
It's okay. DC. So for DC, this was something my buddy Kevin, who's a fellow collector, he messaged me. He's like, dude, I'm in Walmart and I found this. And he sent me a picture of it. I didn't know this was a thing. Did you? Did you know that was a thing?
No, I didn't.
McFarlane Platinum Edition. So that would be.
Okay, yeah. I knew Platinum Robin Edition was a thing, but I didn't
without
know that.
The mask.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
He doesn't have the mask. And I'm such a big Robin fan. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm stopping at the first wave. And then I see this. I'm like, okay, get me that too. Second, I can't speak highly enough about this series. I just finished watching it. And it's like if the Marvel Universe had Twilight Zone episodes.
You are hooked on it then. That's incredible.
I absolutely loved it. I thought every episode was just, I loved all of it. So this was the main hero from my favorite episode. So this is Captain Carter. An extremely insane sculpt of her, even though she's in the box. I'm going to do an unboxing on this. So this is from the What If line. And Rob, this is very exciting for you and I, because I think for the first time, the Build-A-Figure is the Watcher. There's his arm over here. Yeah. But that's Captain Carter. She is absolutely incredible. And all the others in the line too. Build the Watcher. And I haven't been this excited about a Marvel property in a long time, but I was hooked after the first episode, and I just love the series. I hope to do a season two because I think it's awesome.
That's awesome. I had the whole wave pre-order from Big Bad Toy Store. I had to cancel it. I had to make room. There's still time for me to get on that because Big Bad's usually like a month behind kind of retail release. I just can't do the $169 US and then the shipping and duty and stuff like that to guarantee it. I don't have the means to go hunting. Producing television shows, Jade, turns out is kind of expensive. We just delivered one and we're still in the middle of another one. So my collecting will be going down a little bit unless it's for cutaways. That said, I did have a mail day today where some figures did arrive. And so I'm going to show one and let's see if you can figure out the superhero connection, because I'm making this up as I go, but I think it actually works. So my figure is Ted Theodore Logan from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Now, the connection, I'll just throw it out there, is actually, of course, the Toy Biz. So it's made by Toy Biz, as you can see in the corner there. And it actually mirrors that, you know, infamous X-Men Toy Biz packaging, which is really cool. I love the comic trope here on the top corner where you see all the different heads on the back. It's nothing too special. There's not really much of a cross sell. It's just Bill that's there. And so, of course, had to get Bill. But,
Of course,
I also had to get the phone booth. So this this is the
that's
place.
Awesome. That
and it's made for the Excellent Adventure figures, which I could have got as well, but I don't like the sculpts on them nearly as much as the Bogus Journey figures. They're just, it's not anywhere near as cool.
This could be up for debate, but there's nothing like Ted in Bogus Journey, man. Although his hair doesn't look quite right there. His hair is a lot shorter in Bogus
Journey. Well, here's the cool thing, okay? What I want you to take a look at is the alternate head that they include for the evil robot Ted.
The evil robot us is, that's really neat.
Yeah, so you can actually get a second set of these and easily do the robot versions of them. I think the guitars look really cool. The straps aren't too flimsy on them, and they're dead ringers for their actual guitars that they use within the film as well. So, and these are definitely going to be open. When I purchased them, they're totally designed to be open with a totally outrageous and excellent diorama display with this phone booth. I can't wait to see what's up with the top of the phone booth. I'm guessing it's the weird kind of like umbrella inside out thing that's on the top versus the Bogus Journey one, but
that's great, because I was not impressed with last year's NECA releases of this. I think they're 7-inch with real clothing. And the $80, I remember staring at the pack. I'm like, oh, man, the faces were pretty good, but the clothes were baggy. They all look puffy.
Yeah.
I noticed NECA can hit the horror stuff perfect with the clothing. But when it comes to like Karate Kid, even Daniel looked weird. Like his shirt was all big and stuff.
Yeah.
And Bill and Ted just didn't look right. So I passed on those. So I'm glad that they finally did justice to those characters.
Yeah. And it's a perfect scale. It's a 5-inch figure, which is that nice sweet spot, a little bigger than Superpowers, a little less than a classics figure. But that'll do it for this episode, Jay, of the Jay and Rob Toy Show live stream edition, as we continue to promote and push the second season of our TV show that's currently airing on Jinx Esports TV Canada, and of course, piggybacking on Vimeo for everyone around the world, who again can check out season one because you haven't been able to see it until now, and get new episodes of season two weekly, every single Friday. Jay, where can people find you and hear more about what you're doing and see the stuff that you're showcasing and discussing?
Well, on TV, of course.
Whoa!
Besides our hit TV shows, I'm kidding. YouTube is a little hobby I have. I've been doing it for a year and a bit now, and it's a lot of fun. So check out me playing with toys, showing off stuff. I really enjoy that. It's just Jay Bartlett. Other than that, I'm with this guy all the time, making TV shows, having a lot of fun. And I'm really grateful for everyone who sent the messages out the last week or so on Twitter and stuff, especially saying they're excited, count down the minutes for our little show. And who would have thought, and all those people that told us to grow up, well, shows what you know.
Yeah, the support has been really cool gearing up to tonight. And I hope it continues week after week as we march to the whole season. You can catch me here on my YouTube channel here if you're checking it out, or reach out to me on Twitter at Rob McZob, or on Instagram at Rob McCallum Films, or at Action Figure Adventure, or at the Jay and Rob Toy Show. We are around, folks. But we end every episode, let's see if I can remember it. It's been so long since we've done a live stream, Jay, with our famous, infamous catchphrase. But, oh, I forgot. I got to ask you, is The Exorcist, is he still around? Jay Bartlett, The Exorcist.
Oh, I'm gaining.
He's still in the lead, though, yeah?
It just by a couple hundred now. It was like 1,000 before, now it's a couple hundred. I'm gaining on them. So,
well, yeah. Hopefully by the end of season two of our live stream shows, you'll have them in your sights.
I'm pushing it.
So, okay,
you got it. You got this. I believe in you. Come on.
For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, take care of yourselves
and each other.
Because playtime, Jay,
is always the friggin' best time, Rob.
Yes, it is. Glad you remember that part. Okay, cheers, folks. We'll see you next time.